Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:38 Central African Time. Can you feel the power coming through from consciously connected from the platforms of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah? Someone that really walks the talk, someone that is relevant, someone that when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise. Our very own counselor, Ahmed Farak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell us, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, shafaat. Today, the nice, cloudy, and little bit of rain is coming on a beautiful first of Muharram. What blessing with the rain we got. All our sins are getting washed away on the beautiful first day of Muharram, shafaat.
I tell you, Ahmed is welcoming the new year. He's reckoning, he's washing all the sins away, he's being washed away. Yes, sir. You know, Ahmed, we're going to talk about kafan dafan in the segment, and alhamdulillah, you know, it seems that you're a man of vision. You know, you're talking about the mortuaries in Phoenix, and then you also spoke about the mortuary there in Mzinto and so forth. But when you look at Phoenix, it made headlines when it was also during the July unrest, and you know, the bodies were going there, and Becky Kale was making stories around the whole thing. And you know, people like yourself, Rafiq Hassan, and a few others got in and said, please stop the nonsense. But tell us, what's really happening with the mortuary? It's shocking with what we are hearing or reading on newspapers. Tell us, what's the latest there, Ahmed?
Shabbat, I was one of the first, alhamdulillah, with your people's duas, that on national television, I was on Wednesday morning with News 24 and other news as well, to expose this issue about the mortuary where they're putting cops on the floors and the facilities. The facility is so bad. Even the workers cannot work anymore because there is no PPE or anything like that. When this unrest took place, Shafat, we were the first because there were bodies, plus minus 400 post-mortem people were coming from all over, and especially they wanted to come and identify the loved ones, get the post-mortem done. And we found out, and I found out through my various contacts to find out what is happening, why is the delay. It was told to me, no uncertain terms, there is no water. The first call I made to Jamaatul Ulama, I told them, get me a JoJo tank, and I need it like yesterday. Within an hour and a half, a JoJo tank was delivered to the mortuary. We managed to put the pipes, whatever has to be done. We have put the JoJo tank. We got the municipal to go and fill the water. And post-mortem, the next morning, post-mortem has started to take place. And we released bodies because people were waiting in queues there to identify and get the bodies. You know, when you get 400 people, grieving families, that when the houses were washed out and 2-3 kilometers, when you're finding the child and you, some of them we still cannot find. It is a very, very sad state of affair. We put it together. We managed to get it done. Still, there's a huge backlog. If you go to Gale Street Mortuary, you'll find bodies there. From 2016, 2017, you'll find bodies there. Still have not been identified. These are paupers. Why are they keeping it so long? We've been always shouting about this mortuary issue, and that it is time that the government and the Department of Health put this act together quick as possible. The biggest mistake what has taken place over the years, that when the South African police force and the steps were running the mortuaries, we never had this problem. Never ever had this problem, Shafat. Every mortuary was running smoothly. When the Department of Health has taken it over, it is in disaster at the moment. And this thing is not even going to get easier. Now, my difficulty is that when a person gets knocked in the road, we only got few vehicles, and some of the vehicles are not even in working order. The body lies there for 3 to 5 hours, and the police can't do anything. They have to wait for the photographer, wait for the vehicle, then only they can move the body. Previously, we had an undertaking with the Department of Health as well as the South African Police Services that we will be assisting them with our help, take the body quick as possible to the mortuary so the post-mortem can be done and we can release our bodies. These are the issues that we are faced with. You know, you cannot do anything, Shafat, because end of the day, We have spent like something in the region of 5 million about 3-4 years ago in Gage Creek Mortuary. There was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with Gage Creek Mortuary because they closed it for one reason only, and that reason is they were not paid the overtime salaries that they work overtime for 2 years, and that was the issue started, and they say, why are they keep making this toy business, and they're going slow, they don't want to do the post-mortem. I don't blame them. They were not paid. So what they decided, let's close this thing up, take all these stuff, put them in Pinetown Mortuary, Phoenix Mortuary, and Park Rainey, and that's what happened here. So now they are suffering because they don't have the manpower in Phoenix to cope from all the... We used to do in Gale Street Mortuary alone, for an annum, for 1 year, 3,200 postmortems. How are you going to put them into two Durban, Pinetown and Phoenix? You'll never be able to do it because you do not have the manpower, Shafa.
Mortuary, there's no accountability. As you said, the Department of Health doesn't know how to run it. And people like yourselves that have to go and bring this to the attention of the public. And, you know, it seems as if every government department, they have to be hounded, they have to be reminded, and because within the circles, there's an apathy. And you know, maybe someone will tell you, you know, Ahmed, the unions are also complicit. I mean, you talk about Gale Street Mortuary being closed. And a second question could be, how many private mortuaries are there around in this country? But that comes at a price. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Shafad, private mortuaries cannot keep unnatural causes. Unnatural causes, it becomes a government matter. So that is the reason the private mortuaries cannot keep the corpse of unnatural cases. They can only keep the natural causes. They got no problem with that. They have got their own facilities. All the non-Muslim undertakers, they have got facilities. They got fridges in their mortuaries where their businesses are. They have the facility. They keep it there because their custom is they bury on a specific day, either Wednesday, Saturday, or whatever, which day they choose to bury. And those are the days they normally keep. They have to keep it in if it's natural causes only. Unnatural has to go to the mortuaries.
Talk about unnatural causes and all the different causes that are coming through. I'm looking at a question on the screen. He says, Ahmed, how much do they pay at the mortuaries? I'd like to get a job there. I'll do a top job. Ahmed, how do you respond to that message?
Shafat, the lot of people, when even the doctors, I was fortunate enough to make sure that our doctors get into the forensic field. But our doctors do not want to get into the forensic field. That's number one. I'm talking about the doctor's issue. As far as the other issues, when you have to make an application with the Department of Health, and you know, at the moment, if they put an ad for 10 workers in Gale Street, Pinetown Mortuary or any mortuary, you'll find 3,000 to 4,000 applying for the work. And they don't have the facility to pay them. That is the reason this post has not been filled up.
He said, you know, it's a field to look into, and very few Muslims have taken to that. But, you know, how do we get our health department in order? What would you do, Ahmed, if we made you health minister?
Shafat, first, if I was the health minister, first thing first, where you need to give service to the community, number one, i.e., all the government hospitals, bring them up to speed. Look after the poor people who are coming for government hospital for the treatments and all that. That's number one. Get the theatres sorted out. Get the vehicles sorted out. Get the ambulance service sorted out. And then the next step is to make sure you get, while you're doing the hospital, do the mortuaries up at the same time. Because mortuary is one service to the community, you have to give them. There's no two ways about it. So you have to, these are the things I will first tackle to get the hospitals and the mortuaries up and running. If you can get those two and you're giving the service delivery to the community, I don't think we're going to have a problem.
Absolutely, Ahmed, and you know, talking from a lot of experience, and alhamdulillah, you know. And then when you look at the types of things that are happening around us, especially in the KZN region, the Dudula coming through and threatening people, what has happened? Because we noticed that there's a person that was called Lux. Lux is no more with them. What happened to Lux leaving Dudula? Ahmed?
Shafat, in all organizations, you especially in this political field, and when you do this social work, community work, you'll find people coming in and going out because, you know, they set you up, they threaten you. They, you know, especially at the moment, what is happening, you saw what happened in Newcastle. One of the Action SA members was shot. He's in hospital. Then what you saw in this week alone, you saw in Tonga when we put a motion, Action SA put a motion of non-confidence in the mayor, deputy mayor, and the speaker. The chairs were flying there, and the people, where you ever saw people coming into the chamber or the city hall without screening, and they're coming with guns. That is the problem, is an issue that, you know, it has to be sorted out. We had to open a charge in Padaguza police station on Thursday to you know, how did this thing happen? What precaution did the municipal take, you know, the mayor, deputy mayor? These are the things they have to do because people's lives are at stake here at the moment.
The Central African time. And I can tell you, lovely, I like your momentum there always, Mijaki. Well read news. Ahmed, what caught your ear when you heard the news there?
First and foremost, Shafat, you must speak to, always tell him to contact me. I need to put him in the political agenda and become a news reader for Action SA. I can, you know, and put him through the pace in fact, with his voice and what is the knowledge I can give him. He will be a very, very good journalist, Shafat. You know, the Trevon shooting that is taking place on a weekly basis, you know, that Maran Hill where they shot six people last night. And, you know, every weekend you're getting this between 10, 12, 6. Now, yesterday we had 6. These are the things that is keep coming, cropping up on a week-to-week basis at the moment, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And many things have happened here. And I know recently, I remember, you know, there was a psychologist that I was talking to. And, you know, he says many of the children that were afraid for their families and themselves. He's talking about the insurrection. And he says the children were traumatized by the level of violence they were seeing during the July unrest. And, you know, they also said that these things had emotional effects on the children. And some children haven't got over the July unrest and, all, you know, besides the suffering, these lockdowns and all that. You know, have we thought about it as a Muslim community and address this with our children? Or, you know, we just take it for granted the kids are okay. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, in fact, the schools, in fact, I'm not sure if the Islamic schools have already introduced it, but the government schools have already started introducing this type of facility in schools because what is happening with the violence at the moment and what is happening with the parents at home because they are not working. And when the person is not with, if a person, let me put it in a layman's way, if you are hungry, what happens to you? You know, you get violent at home and, you know, your children are nagging there because there's nothing to eat. And this is what is happening at the moment. People are getting violent because they're abusing the wife and children because there's nothing there for them to eat. And the local community and the, you know, the NGOs, NPOs, they only can do so much. In fact, at the moment, there's so much of demand for especially food and water. Take Tongat and some of the areas at the moment. People are really desperate. And if the government do not put something together very, very quickly, there's an, like what happened in Egypt and, you know, the Middle East uprising. It is knocking at our doorstep. You know, I don't want to make our community scared or anything because this is, you know, a person can only take so much and it will have to burst. And this is where we're sitting on. And the problem that we are sitting on is the youths are battling. They've finished matric. They have done everything. And then they battled to get into matric. They got the results. And they're sitting, and now they got nothing else to do. The drug lords are getting hold of them. They are becoming runners for the drug lords, and the drug lords are only making money, and there's no education. There's no way they can go to universities or anything like that. First, they need to find a job and then further the studies to become something, you know, engineer or get a degree or something. But there is no vacancies at the moment. The chain stores are not trading. There is nothing happening. Motor Assembly is only open on the 15th of this month. 15,000 workers were like out of for the last, from April to now, they only have started now. So, you know, everything is taking a huge toll. And let's hope from today, inshallah, with the new year, everything will change Islamically, and you know, the things has to change. Inshallah, Allah will make it easy for all our community, because we are really going through a bad patch at the moment.
Absolutely, Ahmed, and I'm looking at this article that says the ANC in the Tolomani Umnyanyazi region, formerly Lower South Coast, has whisked away one of the wards previously held by the DA in a by-election this week. The party claimed a victory in the by-election in Ward 13 in Umdoni local municipality, with Councillor Ravinan Samlal Maharaja taking the spoils. The win came after the party held its provincial elective conference at the weekend, where new party leaders were elected. The ANC collected 470 votes, the EFF 378, while DA received 273, Al-Jamaa received 243, the IFP 147, and the AMC 70 votes, and PFF got 14 votes, and DFA won one vote. I mean, look at the turnout here, Ahmed. 470 votes, it's a joke. And 378 and 273. What's going on here? But you look at it as the ANC has taken the lower South Coast, taken a seat away from the DA. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Now, that alone talks for itself, Shafat. If you have, you know, the voter apathy is so bad, I'm not sure what's going to happen in the 2024 election. You know, we started our campaign about a year ago, and after the local election, and we were starting to build up. Because there is no other home for anyone else. You know, you cannot go to the ANC, have not delivered. The DA, the major opposition party, has not delivered. And there's a split in the DA at the moment. There's a huge split with all the frictions in the ANC. But, you know, you can't do it. There's a problem in the government itself. So if you've got a problem, people are not like interested in saying what I'm going to vote for and who I'm going to vote for. Those are the same guys there. And to get 400, it might be the lowest in a country in any election to win a seat or become a councillor to get. So how easy it is to become a councillor, if the other opposition, the DA, when they did the homework and they did proper campaigning, they could have worked it with 400 is nothing, 450, even 500. Normally, to get a council seat is to get anything between 2,500 to 3,000 votes you got, and you can come and become a councillor today. That is what the problem is at the moment. The apathy of the voters have come to zero now.
Yeah, in other words, Ahmed, if I'm standing for election, I just get 8 buses. Guaranteed, there's 8 buses of passengers there. They're all registered. And you gave them the biryani and you gave them a grand for the day. Hey, you got the seat, Ahmed. I mean, it's shocking, but you know, the figures are so low. But let's move on. We noticed that the ANC Youth League says it will join the party's employees in the picket outside the Nazareth conference, and it's carrying on presently, I believe. Unpaid staff have threatened to disrupt the party's national policy conference until they paid their salaries. Some employees last received the salaries in May. The ANC is battling to pay those at Lutuli House. The ANC got no money. Please, Ahmed, make a plan, man. Give them some money that you got, because the ANC is bankrupt. Talk to me, Ahmed.
Shafat, what happened to the ruling party is they have opened their own graveyard. The thing is this, they have not ruled this country in the last 29 years. What they have done is nothing. Mandela must be turning in his grave there, because you know what? He fought for this 27 years he spent in prison to fight for this country, and this country has gone through. You know, if you get the latest audited report, 33 of the municipality is in administration. That that talks volume to all our listeners in the country. 33, can you believe they've gone into administration, meaning that they cannot run the business anymore. They cannot run the municipal anymore. So this is it. They cannot give a clean report. How can you have a municipality cannot, you know, you left it, if you left it in the old town borough, they were giving what the audit report, Spingo Borough, Pinetown Borough, New Germany, they had all these things. I think they need to go to that system there, and it will make it easier. Each one will account for himself, and that's how we even totally took the chunk of prospecting. Without totally, we still ran the borough in Spingo, Lotus Park, all that. They gave us only the trash. With all that, the place was still in immaculate condition, Shafat. Anybody you speak to, you will tell you that is the worst thing they did by taking away and making it to a big municipality, and they cannot run the municipality anymore.
Yeah, I recall the borough, YC Me, there was Dr. M.M. Jadwood, there's also, who else, Habibullah Khan, and not forgetting... A.K. Vauda. Hey, I know you remember A.K. Vauda. You know, Raymond Lala, give them all, greater status in heaven also. They served us with that distinction. Well, Ahmed, we noticed that angry taxi drivers in the Durban CBD they blockaded roads and began protesting against the vehicles being impounded. And incidents of looting were also reported. However, the looters allegedly jumped on the taxi driver's bandwagon. And the South African National Taxi Council spokesperson called for an end to the protest and said that there could not be lawlessness. And this all flared up in Durban this week. And the people are waiting to jump on and to loot and so forth. And the taxi drivers or the taxis too, you know, when they start getting a cold or they start sneezing, everyone catches the virus. Talk to us about this blockade and talk to us about these people that were, looting, but there were sporadic lootings in Durban this week. Ahmed?
Shafat, taxi industry is a law on its own. And I can't understand why the government has given them so much of power. Although they're doing a service, they're getting paid for it, but they don't pay any taxes or anything. And they're still now crying for, if the fuel price has gone up, they shouldn't be crying because they're not paying no taxes, nothing. I got one staff, her husband left some money. She started with one taxi. She's got five taxis today. She makes 15 grand a week, Shafat, with the five taxis, 15,000. No tax, no nothing, and she's contented with that. So, and she's still working. The thing is this, Shafa, the lawlessness comes because they don't want to abide by the rule. Where you saw a taxi, don't stop on a red robot. For them, red robot is like a U stand. You just stop there. See, there's no cars coming. You need to go. And the metro police, their hands are tied as well. How many tickets can they give to the same taxi guy and empower the vehicles? They had to do what they had to do. The metro police are doing it. But they come and fight at the metro officers, and they're toying because now the vehicles have been towed away into metro, and they have to pay like in the region of 59 for the tow and pay the fine and everything. So that's where they're jumping now. End of the day, they brought it upon themselves. They need to regularize this industry in terms of making sure that everyone, like you and I paying tax, everybody else must pay tax. There must be one rule for everyone. There can't be two rules for this thing. You run a business, taxi industry, like a bus industry. You get South Coast bus service, you get Olympic bus service. It's a PTY limited company. They run it like a business, and they pay the taxes, everything. And you know, the fuel taxes that they get from the taxi industry, massive. It goes into millions. Because they are the main consumer of the fuel. So end of the day, I can't see why we can't put the act together.
I'm looking at a message on the screen. Kasim says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat, brothers. I always tune in to Straight Talk with Ahmed Farooq and yourself. I want to tell Ahmed that the Metro Police in Durban, they go for the soft targets. They're busy giving people parking tickets and so forth. And they go for people that are law-abiding citizens. And this is why they can't take on the taxi drivers, because they are scared that these taxi drivers will somersault them. How do you respond to Kasim, Ahmed?
Shabbat, that brother, he said 100%. It's true. These things happen all the time. Because you know what? You go to a taxi driver, 3-4 taxis, corner him up. That poor fella, how is he going to go back home? And then this is what happened. Because that guy is on foot. He's giving to the soft target. Now, he is doing his work, because end of the day, he has to go back at his office and send his return. Now, if you do it to the taxi, they will corner him. He can't go. That poor guy would not be able to go. Even if he's double passed or whatever it is, he won't ticket that guy because of the same reason. Because he will be in big trouble, because he won't be able to go from where he is. This is how the taxi industry is run, like a mafia business.
Yeah, you got it. You got the point there, because you take them on, you know, immediately 10 or 12 taxis will surround you. And they even get out of the taxis, Ahmed, and they're hitting, you know, they can be at fault, the taxis, but they'll still hit the driver behind them who signal to them, you know, you did wrong. And they'll come out of the car and they'll hit the person, and they will still get away with impunity. Why is that so, Ahmed?
You know, Shafat, you know, yeah, the problem is our law is very, very weak. We don't have the law. If the law takes its place, you know, every metropolis is upright, every SAP from the SAP is upright, right from the top to the bottom. If you got your foundation strong, Shafat, you will have a very, very good system. You go to anywhere, you go to Singapore, you can't even do jaywalking. They'll find you for that. So, you know, it's everything is like, there's no law to per se. So that is the issue. But the only law is SARS is 100% with the law. You know, they're on the beat. The systems are in place. Everything is in SARS. They have got their systems in place. But all the other government departments and all this, there's no law. There is no law. The law is broken. That's the problem we face with.
As Ahmed talks about law being broken, listen to this, people. 7 men were busted with stolen copper and cables, allegedly from a Itikweni municipality and Transnet in Durban. The gang allegedly used the stolen items to make three-legged pots and were arrested during a task team raid after receiving a tip-off. The suspects in possession of the copper and the cables that are worth at least 1.5 million are set to appear in court. Police said that 7 men have been busted. But Ahmed, you know, many people will say that this operation was on for maybe a year or two or three, and maybe some officials of the municipality or Itikweni municipality are also, you know, allowing all this illegal activities to take place in and around Durban and its precincts. How do you respond to that, Ahmed?
Shafat, if you buy stolen goods, what happens? You are accomplice to it. The thing is this, it is all in the system. Everyone gets a kickback. When if you forget the kickback system, then you won't have this problem. Because if the main culprit of this whole thing, who is the scrap dealer, how can he go and buy? Where did you get it from? Most of the scrap dealers take this copper, everything is getting exported. They're putting in the containers very, very quick. As soon as the container is filled, that container is gone. You won't even smell that container. So it's already, so that's how they're getting away with it. The issue is why you need to put clamps on all the scrap dealers. Once you close that door, then these people won't break all these street poles, all this. They don't dig up all these roads up. If you go down Esplanade and all, you see some of them, they have dug it up and they took this. There's only the thick pipe, they break it up, they cut it, and that thing is live too. I don't know how they do it, and they take the copper out and they're going to sell it. And that's where the money is. If you close that door, these guys got nowhere else to sell. They won't do it anymore. But because we have allowed it, this is, you can put the best of the best task team, which we did from the municipality, that Transnet did that. But it's paying to a certain degree. But the thing is, you need to catch the kingpin. Once you get the kingpin and you close the door on the buyer, then there's no more business.
Yeah, looking at the message on the screen, Rashid says, Assalamu alaikum. Great show, brothers. On the taxi issue, I want to tell Ahmed Parak how many school children have lost their innocent lives because of unscrupulous and badly behaved taxi drivers. So many. And just the other day, I read about a taxi driver driving over school children, not even caring. What is going on with these people, Ahmed? It needs to be brought to book right now and immediately. Please do something, my brother. Ahmed, it seems as if, you know, what? Whenever there's a problem, people want you to solve it, Ahmed. How much can you do?
Shafar, this matter is being taken care of as we speak, because, you know, we bring motions into the city every, you know, whenever there's council meetings, we bring a motion. Motions mean whatever the problem that we are faced on the ground, we are bringing motions upon motion. We only can bring four motions because we only four councillors there. And everybody, the opposition party, DA is doing that, IFP is doing that. You know, in some cases, rule 27 gives you the motions that you can bring in to the council. You send it to the speaker and then he puts it on the agenda. When the council meeting takes place, we discuss this matter here. We want this to be done. We want this to be done. And then the deputy mayor and the mayor have to answer to all this.
Looking at this message, hey, mashallah, rocking messages this morning, Boniface. Ahmed has a way of attracting all these messages. This is from Rauf. Rauf says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, last week, the much-anticipated KwaZulu-Natal ANC provincial conference took place in Durban. The delegates chose as the conference signature tune a chant that was repeated throughout the conference period, Wenzeni Izuma. Hey, I'll say it again. Wenzeni Izuma. It went roughly translated, what wrong has Zuma committed? But Ahmed, I believe that Zuma will not appear in court and he will not go to jail. Ahmed, I'm afraid we are heading for another unrest. How do you respond there, Ahmed?
In that case, this matter is sub judice, number one. Number two is this matter is before the court. So end of the day, this matter has to come to the court. Like what you can see at the moment, is already been set down from Monday on, from tomorrow onwards, the 320 million, the DSW, the Zanele Gumede case is all taking place now. The judge was very, very precise this thing. She banned the media from there and made it very, very clear to all 21 accused in this matter, that get your act together. There is, if you don't bring your advocate, you don't bring your lawyer, don't talk to me. You have to come and this matter will proceed. So the judge is very, very, Judge Shamain is very strong judge in this province and in the country. She's very, very sharp-minded. And this matter will come to an they will finalize this thing. But you know, this matter will roll over to the new year in 2023. By the time you get judgment, because there's a lot of this, like something in the region of about plus minus 3,000 affidavits and how many the witnesses has to be come in, and there's a lot of hard work has to be before judgment is going to be there. But this matter is before the court. It's the same thing. Zuma's case will come before the court. You know, court of law, you find the smallest loophole, they go and attack that loophole, and they can take that same loophole right up to constitutional court and then make decision from there. So you're buying time. In other words, what you're doing is you're just buying time. But at the end of the day, it has to come before the court because it's not going to die off just like that.
Yeah, Ahmed, then you look at it, you know, millions and millions of taxpayers' money is being wasted by these politicians running to court and trying to avoid, all the them getting charged and going in orange overalls. Are your thoughts on that?
Shafan, you know what? We can't make a prediction now unless the court has taken. You can't find a person guilty unless you have given him a fair trial. That is the law embossed in our constitution. So it has to go before the court of law. And if our case is strong, if the NPA has done their homework properly, the South African police services have done the work properly, they have taken proper statements and everything, and the affidavits are in place, then you can get some conviction. But if you haven't done your case, today, as you say, the advocates, you take Jimmy Howells and you get Jay Naidu and all, these are top advocates. They are brilliant-minded. They know, they know the act backwards. They'll call precedents from this act, that act and all that. And then, the judge has to then make a decision whether, in some cases, because the case is weak on probabilities, yet she might think that the case is a solid case, but on probabilities, she'll have to dismiss the case. And this is what happens 9 out of 10, because today's advocates are sharp, 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 razor blade sharp, and they will attack. And any small loophole in the law, they will come and attack. Then what happens, you'll have to go and take it on appeal, from appeal go to constitutional court. Then it's extra, as you said, it's taxpayers' money. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, you heard that from Ahmed. You can't do anything, people. Yeah, once they're there, we're going to court. Ahmed, brilliant morning with you. Your parting words this morning?
Shafat, first and foremost, there's an article that I was going through yesterday as well as today. The powers of the SGB, the school governing body, is going to be removed. And in that, what we have to do is attack that in the basic education system, not to let that act go through. Because if that act goes through, say your child is not going to school, and you felt that, as a parent, I'm not going to send him, and somebody goes and reports you. So you can get from 6 months, they want to increase it to 12 months in jail. Because now your child is willing to go, but you are refusing. That's number one. Then it's giving them powers to the HODs and the MECs that they have the final say in the language, in what languages they can introduce in the school. Now, that is a dangerous one, because we got our Islamic language, the Arabic language, and all the languages we want them to teach. And if they feel that they want to take that language out of that school, they are allowed to do that. And I think that should be stopped, because we say they must teach Arabic in if they were prepared to teach Zulu, they must prepare to teach all the other languages as well too. It must be fair, because in terms of our constitution, right of religion, right of culture, we must exercise that. And then the last one is a very, very dangerous one, is they want to have the final say, the Department of Education has the final say to close that school. If they find that school hasn't got the numbers and it's not properly run or anything, they can just close it overnight. And that is a very, very serious issue that we must look upon. Lastly, I'm saying, Shafan, is that before you grade 12, 40% of our students are drop-off. Now, that is an alarming factor. Why are they dropping off? Because of what is the reason is the drop-off? Is the friends or the environment and all that, before they even reach the grade 12. So these are the things that we are bringing up with the Department of Education, and to tell them, we're not happy with these issues yet, and they must take it back to the drawing board, Shafa. And now today is the first day of Muharram. We must make dua. This is our new year. Let's make dua. Allah make it easy going forward from here. Inshallah, this year will be a very, very good year. We did, last year we had a lot of issues with the government in terms of the looting and everything else. But we must make dua that Allah make it easy for all our Muslim friends, brothers, and the community at large. That in this new year of Muharram, new year of ours, 1444. Allah make it easy, and we have a nice, prosperous, good year before the 2024 election, Shabbat.
Inshallah, as you heard, Ahmed said, prosperous, lovely new year before that elections. Ahmed, you have a mashallah blessed day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullahi. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.